Yeah, so we're going to take the next about 40 days or so and talk about the Word of God. I read this about a little kid who went back to school. Maybe you saw this as well. And he's writing a note to his teacher. He's 6 years old and he is not happy. So this is what he writes. "I'm angry of you because you took 25 of my hummingbird bucks, all because I was talking to Connor. That's no big deal. I'm only six and cannot be quiet all the time, and that makes you a thief and a crook, and you are going to hell, real hell, the burning one, because you are a thief. I worked hard for those bucks, and my only prayer in chapel today was that God get you to hell super fast, and your new haircut is bad, really bad." So we're going to talk about how to use the Word of God, but probably not like this. I think one of the most important things, these times are troubling. And we need to understand truth. And when we understand truth, then we can spot a lie. And we're going to kind of do the prerequisite for the next 2 weeks. Then we're going to launch into 40 days of how to engage in God's Word. And you know, both at home and both here in the building, many of you know about the famous sermon that Jesus gave. It's called the Sermon on the Mount. And as he's ending this sermon, he tells a story. He tells a story about a couple of guys, and they both built homes. But they built the homes, one on a particular foundation and the other on a particular foundation. And the one guy, he builds his house on a solid foundation, a foundation of rock. And the other guy goes out and he builds his house on sand. Then the unexpected rogue winds and the storms came, the storms of life came, and the house that was built on the sand collapsed. And the house that was built on the rock was able to withstand the storms. After Jesus talks about this story, he says this: "For everyone who hears these words of mine," that's the Word of God, that's the Bible, "and puts them into practice," and we're going to talk about how do you do that. It's not just, wow, can I hear the Word of God? How do we actually apply the Word of God? He says, "is like the wise man who builds his house on the rock." So for about the next 40 days or so, I want to look at that. How do you build your life on the Scriptures? How do you not just read but apply the Word of God to your life? Because things can get strange. I don't know what the rest of 2020 is going to bring, but if it's anything like what we've already had, it's not easy. I mean, there are fires burning out of control. In Iowa a couple weeks ago, they had a hurricane. And I heard that sometime before the election, there's a meteor that's coming to Earth. I mean, I don't know, but here's what I do know. Every one of us, and Jesus said this, in this world, you're going to have trouble. But he has overcome the world, and so we're going to talk about the Word of God. Because when things happen, your life doesn't have to crumble. And we already know this, you can't build your life on other people's opinions. You can't build your life on the popular opinion. You can't build your life on a political platform. You've got to build your life on something that's better than culture. And we're going to talk about building your life on the absolute, unchanging truth, the Word of Christ. So this morning, we're going to talk a little bit how to approach that. If you have your Bible with you, we're going to look at James chapter 1. And really, we're going to go through verses 19 through 25. But this morning, we're going to look at verses 19 through 21. And the next week, 22 through 25. How do we build our life on God's Word? In James 1:19, it says this: My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen. He's talking about hearing the word of God. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10, faith comes by hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. Every time you hear a pastor sharing the word of God, every time you have an app that's open, and I do this every week, I listen to the word of God. Every time you do that, you're building your faith. I mean, like right now, your faith is being built. It's an encouragement to me because the longer I talk, the more your faith is going to be built up in the Denise. Now she's a Christian. A minute ago, she was like, yeah, now she's a believer. But you know what I'm saying? When we hear the word of God, it lifts us up. And it's important. I'm glad you're here. It's a good start. And what I love about Hope Church, and you know, there's some people who haven't been, and they can see that everything's different in the sanctuary. Seats are spread all over, doors are open, so it is safe. At least safer than Lowe's and Walmart and a lot of other places that I see you going on Facebook. Anyway, let's get back to the Word of God. Listen to what James says. And this is super important. In James chapter 1, verse 19 and 20 through 21, he says this. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Therefore, because of what we just read, he says, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent. And humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. I mentioned last week that it seems to be imposed upon us that the church is non-essential. That it's illegal to gather in some states and to go to church. But we can riot, we can do all kinds of other things, but don't go to church. Well, here's the bottom line. There's one thing essential in life, and that's the day you die, you're going to meet Jesus Christ, and are you going to go to heaven or not? That is the most essential question you will ever answer in your entire lifetime. Well, guess what happens at church, at least this church, and so many other churches? We talk about the gift of Jesus Christ. You can know him personally. You tell me that's not essential? It's the only essential. Humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. James says, be quick to listen, but he doesn't just say we want you to listen. He explains here that it's not just listening, but in some ways there's heart preparation. When you read the word, he talks about your tongue. He talks about your temper. He talks about the temptations that we face. And he talks about the tone in which we approach the word of God. You know, in order for you to hear the word of God correctly right now, the Bible says it's not just a matter of hearing, it's a matter of attitude. James says, hey, tame your tongue. Let's talk about your temper. And then you're going to be able to listen. You're like, wait a minute. He's talking about the Bible, and why all of a sudden is he talking about anger when it relates to how we connect to God of the Bible? Well, I can tell you why. We don't hear a whole lot when we're mad. We don't hear a whole lot when we're upset. And this morning, if you came to church and you've got kind of a intense mood, you sit down and you're like, okay, God, I'm ready to listen. I just want to tell you that you're not what I would call in a receptive mood. And we wonder, you know, why James says that. He says that because he wants you to be able to hear the word, but in order to hear the word, it has something to do with our attitude. To get the most out of what we're going to talk about the next 40 days, we need to come to God with the right attitude. And everyone gets mad, but it's harder to hear when we're angry. He says, hey, watch your tongue. Watch your temper. And then James says, you really want to connect to God? Then let's talk about temptation. He says here, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent. In other words, if we expect God to speak to us, we can't have all kinds of sin piled up in our lives. And you say, well, what is sin? Well, that's sin for you, but it's not sin for me. Really? I can tell you how I understand what a sin is and what a sin isn't. It's right here. What the scripture calls sin, I can't say it's not sin. But if you don't know the scripture, then you're going to listen to people who have loud mouths and maybe a lot of power, and they're going to try to convince you that something which is actually sin is not sin. And you say, well, Jim, are you going to get political? I don't care about being political. I care about being biblical. And it's a worldview. And it's a worldview that our culture is trying to throw away. I'll give you one example, and I hope you don't get mad. When I read behind an organization that is riding all over America, and I love every single person, and every single person matters. I told you when I was a little kid, I learned that song, red and yellow, black and white, they're all precious in his sight. Jesus loves all the little children. But when I read documentation straight from the founders and what they want to do, and they say, we are here to destroy the nuclear family. We are here to say it's not about a dad and a mom and their children. It's about whatever we want it to be. I love everybody, but I'm not going there. I am not going there. The Bible says that God created man and he created a woman. And you can think whatever you want to think, but I'm going to tell you this. I am not going to err on the side of the world and neglect and reject the word of God. I'm not going to do it. And I'm not being mean. I'm not being judgmental. I'm just telling you. And so here's why you and I need to know the Word of God. Because He wants us to have a life, and the Scripture says, a life of abundance. And truth, the Scripture says, will set us free. And let me make myself clear. I'm not against anybody or any movement that stands for equality of people. But I am not going to endorse something that says you can be whatever you want to be and call it good. I'm not doing that because I don't have a choice. I either quit being your pastor and endorse everything of the world, or I have to say, God, I have no opinion, but I'm going to proclaim the nicest way I can your opinion. The Bible says here, get rid of the moral filth. It's interesting. I read that this word filth in the original Greek is a word that's similar to earwax. You know, the stuff on the end of a Q-tip. Now, to me, I want to go wash my hands because that is just gross. And what James is saying here is, if you want to hear the Lord, get rid of the earwax. You know, God, you're not speaking to me. Well, yes, I am, but you've probably got earwax and you can't hear him. There's emotional earwax, spiritual earwax, mental, ethical earwax. And James is saying, if you really want to know the Word of God, if you really want to be impacted by the Word of God, then we've got to talk about temptation. It's not just temper, it's temptation. And James says, let's get rid of that. Do you know what I have for many years appreciated about God's Word? It's a guideline to protect us. It's a guideline that you might learn things that our culture needs to learn. I love you as I want to be loved. I want to treat you as somebody created by God Almighty. I don't care what your skin color is. You're valuable to God, which makes you valuable to me. Do you understand that there's a Judeo-Christian ethic in how to treat other people in the Bible? Here's the rub. I don't want all of it. I just want the good parts. The Lord bless you, the Lord keep you. The Lord give you peace. I want those parts. I don't want the part that says, this is how I have to behave. And that's where we get into trouble. Because people who have a lot of power and a lot of money and a lot of influence don't want to live in this way. And so they want to crush the Christian. Well, that's impossible. Because we're not a movement. We're exactly what God had called us to be. And you're not going to crush God. Many times in the history of the church, there have been people who've tried to crush God and his people. And it's not going to happen. It is absolutely not going to happen. The Bible says we need to get rid of filth. We need to get rid of evil. We need to get rid of sin. And what is sin? Sin is any action or attitude that conflicts with the truth. How do we do that? The Bible calls it confession. What is confession? It's you and it's me simply agreeing with God. Hey, that was wrong. God, I'm sorry. That was not right. God, I'm sorry. And as we approach this 40 days in the Bible, we need to think about our tongues and what we say, and we need to think about our tempers, and we need to think about temptation, and then we need to think about tone. I thought about tone, and this week Sharon and I drove 9 hours one direction to see a very close family friend, and we drove 18 hours, and in 2 days we got a 1 hour visit on one day and a 1 hour visit on the next day. And this is she's like a mom. Her name's Fusako, and you want to talk about tone? She's 94 years old, and she's in a nursing home, and we got to go get her, and because she can't walk that far, we probably were able to push her around the perimeter of the entire church. She was so excited. When she came out and we're pushing her, she put her hands in the air, and she said, oh, feel that air. And all she could do was say, thank you. Thank you for coming to see me. Thank you that we get to go out on this walk. And over and over, and I don't know how many times, she said, I'm so thankful. She's in a nursing home, and she said, I am so thankful to be here. They take such good care of me. They give me meals, and they don't even have me do the dishes. And I said, Fusako, they don't make you do the dishes? And she said, no. I said, they should. And she said, no, I love this. And when we left, and she knew we had to drive back to Iowa, she had tears in her eyes, not because we were leaving, but because we came. And she thanked us, and she hugged us, and she said, oh, I love you. I care. Let me tell you something. That is tone. That is appreciation. And that is how we need to approach the Word of God. God has already done everything for us. And we need to approach the Word of God with a tone that shows appreciation. And that's why James says this: we humbly accept the Word planted in you. We, with our tone, come to the Word of God with appreciation. You think God owes you something? He doesn't owe you anything. And I can tell you a little secret, that God did really well before you were born. And here's the other part of that secret. He's going to be just fine when you're gone. Now, I know this is hard for all of us to hear because we are the most important person in the world. I understand that. I understand that's what our culture has taught us. Everybody's a winner. Everybody gets a ribbon. Everybody is so ornery right now, it's pathetic. Don't be ornery when it comes to the Word of God. I mean, it's amazing that two people can come to church and one person can walk out the door and go, man, that was incredible. Totally what I needed. Another person can walk out and go, I hope I can find church on TV because that didn't mean a whole lot to me at all. How can that happen? Attitude. Tone. We come angry. We come full of temptation. What does it mean to be humble before God? It means this: you do whatever God tells you to do. Period. What does it mean to be humble? God, I'm going to follow you. You're not following me. If you want to have a successful, biblically sound Christian life, you don't tell God, hey, you better, you ought to. You say, God, whatever you want, I'm in. You're the CEO. You're the CFO. You're whatever you want to call it. You're in charge. I've been reading the book of Ecclesiastes over and 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 over again. And it's a very interesting book because Solomon has everything. And he's moving towards the latter years of his life, and he's literally going through a midlife crisis. I mean, he is just fallen apart. And the book of Ecclesiastes kind of weaves this. And if you read the first, I'm going to teach you that book at some time, and I'm going to start with the very last verses because that's where he lands. You got to know that, because as you're reading it, you're like, does he even believe in God? Does he believe in him? Well, man, he's really messed up. But one of the things he gets right is chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. He says this. And he's talking about tone. As you enter the house of God, keep your ears open and your mouth shut. It is evil to make mindless offerings to God. Don't make rash promises, and don't be too hasty in bringing matters before God. After all, God is in heaven, and you are here on earth, so let your words be few. I kind of pondered that, and I'm like, wow. That's not a perspective that we really think about God. I mean, sometimes you think about God as like Santa Claus. If I do this and write my little notes, Santa is going to give me everything I need. Or we think about God as an old grandpa, you know, in his rocking chair, and wow, he's so old, he can't really do much. And oh, poor God, that's not how God is. And there's some of us, we think about God as like a drill sergeant. And a lot of it has to do with how we're raised and our view of Father. We think that all God is mad. And every time we turn around, you know, he's ready to whack us with a lightning bolt. And God's none of that. But he's in heaven. And he hasn't changed. And he is all powerful. He is all knowing. He knows exactly what's going on in California. He knows what's going on in China. He knows what's going on in Mexico. He knows what's going on in Canada. And that's why we need to come to God with the proper tone, a little bit of reverence. And this is what James is saying. He says, hey, friends, let's think about our attitudes. So when we hear the Word of God, when we experience the Word of God, it enriches our lives. Let's clean out the moral filth that so easily wants to trip us. Let's think about, we don't approach God like everybody's approaching one another on Facebook. We don't sling mud at one another like you hear all day long on the news. What we want to do in this day and age is live biblically. Why is that? It's because really, why are we doing even what we're doing for the next 40 days? I can tell you why. I want you to be blessed. I want your family to be blessed. I want your finances to be blessed. I want you, what the Bible says, to have the peace of God, which transcends the things that we understand. That he can guard your heart and guard your mind. I want you, when the meteor comes, who knows? I want you when you know, the killer wasp or whatever, when they come back, I want you to be solid. I want you to experience the blessings of God. Because that's what you need in this time, in this season, to make it. How many people are discouraged? So many. And some of it has to do with where we're feeding. Some of it has to do with all the things we're letting in to our minds. I don't claim to know a whole lot, but I know this. God wants to bless each and every one of you. In the building here, God wants to bless those of you at home. He wants to keep you sane in the midst of what seems to be insanity. He wants you to understand the truth, even if it costs something. Because even in the Old Testament, Shadrach, Meshach, and they should have named him, I gotta go. But they named him, hey, what happened to them? They stood for truth. How? Because they knew the truth. Daniel, as he was thrown in the lion's den, he stood for truth. How? Because he knew the truth. When Paul was beaten, when Peter was thrown into prison, when James was executed, when Stephen laid down his life, why would anybody do that? Because they knew the truth. And nobody is going to lay down their life for a God who didn't raise from the dead. Nobody does that. They knew the truth, and because of it, even in the midst of struggle, they were free. And so, hello, I am so excited for the next 40 days. I want you, I want me, I want our lives to be more filled with God. I want our lives to be more blessed by God. Because it matters. How you live matters. What you believe is one thing. How you behave shows really what you believe. The Bible says this: humbly accept the word. God, what can you teach me? And don't get me wrong, sometimes things are confusing in the Bible. I've studied the Bible my whole life. I've gone to school for way too many years to try to figure it out. Some of it's confusing. But let me tell you what we're going to do when we really kick off this 40 days. We're going to have a little Bible reading plan. And we're all going to read the same thing. And there'll probably be a place where you can make comments. Like, hey, Pastor Kevin, this makes no sense. Pastor Jim already said he doesn't know everything, but we know that you do. And so could you help us with this? And if he says, that's so simple, let's give it to the youth pastor. So then you go, wow, Pastor Jim says he doesn't know anything. Kevin says, this is so fundamental, let's give it to Pastor Zach. And then Pastor Zach's going to say, no way, that's way too simple. Let me give you the cell phone for the elders. And then you're going to call them and they're going to go, that is so simple. Ask Pastor Jim. And it's just going to be like that. But we're going to interact in the Word of God together. And here's what I'm going to promise you. If you really do this, it will absolutely make a difference in your life. You will be blessed to be a blessing. All right, I'm going to pray in just a moment, but I got to tell you about the dilly bars. Hey, oh, that's, babe, that's your cue. She said before church, Jim, I'm going out there before you because I know you'll take too many and I want to eat one first. No, she didn't. We called Dairy Queen because we wanted to bless our kids. They're going back to school. We want to be a blessing to them. And we said, hey, we'd like 120 dilly bars. The guy at Dairy Queen says this: why do you need 120 dilly bars? Well... because I'm still working on COVID-29. It was COVID-19, then it went to COVID-21, it's COVID-27, I'm working on COVID-29. And we said, here's the deal, we love the kids at Hope Church, and we just want to bless them all. And he says, you're doing this at your church? We said, yeah. He goes, oh, well, here's the deal. I'm going to give them all to you for nothing. And I'm like, we're not calling to get something for nothing. That's a terrible thing you can do to a business owner. And he said, no, we want to do this. We're so excited for your church and what you're doing. Well, what I didn't realize, he owns the one here, owns the one in Lowell. His wife is a school teacher at a Christian school, and she teaches a Sunday school class, and we met the man yesterday. I said, of course, my wife is the more spiritual one. I said, babe, should we just go through the drive-thru? She's like, are you kidding me? Do you not want to look at the person in the eye and say thank you? And I'm like, of course that's what I was thinking. I mean, that's nothing new to you, right? If you're seriously sick or something, Sharon, we want to talk to you. And he said, you know what? We're excited about what you're doing in church. And he was a biblically functioning Christian. He said, we have been blessed and we want to be a blessing. And I said, do you mind if we tell our church? I didn't want to. He said, well, we don't care. He goes, you can tell them or not tell them. It doesn't matter to me. We're just thankful for what you're doing. But you know what happened there? He didn't have to say to me he was a believer. When I came in, hi, I am a believer. Why, yes, you are. He showed it by how he lived. What a gift. And if you go to Dairy Queen, which it looks like we all could use a little more Dairy Queen, tell them thank you. Hey, thanks for caring about the kids at Hope Church. What a blessing that is. All right, next 40 days. So next week we're going to pick up on another couple of verses. You can read them in advance and say, I know this is what Jim's going to say in his sermon. If you think you really got it, you can come up and talk with me. And that'll be good. No, I'm serious with that. Not all of you, but some of you. 40 days is all I'm asking for you to say, I'm going to dive into this. And after those 40 days, I think you're going to be saying, my life is feeling pretty good. Come, you know, hell or high water, my anchor, my foundation, it's solid. All right, appreciate y'all. Let me pray for you and bless you. And then we'll go enjoy a dilly bar with our masks on. No. Father, thank you. You love us. And what I'm so concerned about, some of the things I see in our society are telling us we don't matter. And they're saying Christ doesn't matter. It's not relevant. God, I mean, I know you're more relevant today than ever. We need Jesus. Lord, as we begin to step into this adventure, would you open our hearts, open our minds? Would you grow us in you, God? Help us, Lord, with our tongue, with our tempers. Help us with temptations. God, help us with our tone. We owe you everything. Jesus, you died for us before we even acknowledged you. While we were yet sinners, the scripture says, you died for us. May we not only be believers, may we be biblically solid to know the difference between right and wrong. May our worldview stem from the scriptures. May we remember what founded this country. God bless each one. I love the Hope Church family. Bless those at home. Bless those who are here. Keep them close to you, God. Encourage them, I pray, even this week. In Jesus, your precious name, amen.